5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Hour three. You guys know what that means. I'm joined by my friend LKC Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. Bubba, what's going on, man?
Not much, my friend. You know, the draft is behind us. We have a lot of day baseball from the day we're recording, which is pretty crazy. I get to talk to you 5 days a week. So, you know, life is good.
Yeah. I mean, you thought the rhythm was good before doing an hour a week. Now we're doing at least 30 minutes a night, Monday through Friday, talking DFS on LineStar too. So lots of Bubba and Bogman together. And look, man, before when we recorded last week, it was a day before the draft. So it was on Wednesday. Normally we record this later Thursday, which is what we're doing tonight to get it edited by Friday to get it in and all that good stuff. But we didn't know about the Aaron Rodgers stuff. That stuff happened when the Welsh and I were recording last week. So let's get your quick kind of take on the Aaron Rodgers drama, even though we got through the draft without him getting moved or anything like that.
Well, like, there's so many layers to this, so I'll try to keep it as quick as I can. But
we'll move it into the next.
The first part I'll mention, and we could probably hit the rest after the break. Adam Schefter came out because he's the one that leaked it all, or the story came out by him. Mm-hmm. He flat out said Rodgers' crew had nothing to do with this, which tells you someone on the Green Bay side of things has something to do with this, which makes it even more entertaining because right now Rodgers is getting thrown under the bus almost anywhere you look. And it's a great conversation point. I'm on Team Rodgers side of things, but trust me, I have friends from Milwaukee and Madison, and I even was on a text thread when I woke up Thursday morning about how much of a B Aaron Rodgers is. So it's pretty impressive right now.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it off initially as draft day nonsense, you know, because you get those weird smoke signals. I mean, you know, the last couple of years in a row, Garen Conley's sexual assault thing was leaked on draft day. Laremy Tunsil's gas mask video was leaked on draft day. And then this Aaron Rodgers stuff was happening on draft day. And I thought, okay, well, this is just the 2021.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
One version of the nonsense, right? Turns out it's much deeper than that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into it, like Bubba said, after the break. So stick with us. We'll be back to talk about more Aaron Rodgers. It's In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Joined by Casey, Bubba at BDNTrick. And Bubba, tell everyone about all the great work you are doing right now all over the interwebs.
Well, you mentioned the Twitter at BDNTrick. That's where you'll get all the goodies. You mentioned the DFS show we do together, LineStar, that good stuff as well. And then I do my written content for DFS at rotoballer.com. I have some season-long stuff at Fantasy Sports Degens and a little bit at Rotoballer now, too. I have the Bench with Bubba podcast, which is my baby, and I just recorded two episodes this past week. The most recent one was Steve Gardner of USA Today, a frequent of In This League, so it was good to have him finally get benched with Bubba. And then other than that, you know, we got some golf, we got some football coming up eventually, so pretty much if you can't find it on In This League, which would be impossible to not find, you can come find it on my stuff.
That's right, exactly. So check him out if you would, please. And we're talking Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about him before the break. And, you know, I got to the right result for the wrong reason, which is never, you know, which is never how you want to end up at a place, right? So the Welsh and I talked about this last week, and I had said it's drafting nonsense. There's no way he's going to get traded, any of that stuff. So then we hear, you know, later on Friday, getting closer towards the actual draft start time, that this is something that has been building the entire offseason. And basically he asked for a new contract from Green Bay. Green Bay refused. He didn't drag them through the mud like a lot of players would at that point. And, you know, I think some point between not getting a deal done and getting closer to the draft, he just said, hey, look, Green Bay, if you don't trade me, I'm not coming back to play for you guys because I don't feel like I'm wanted. And I'm sure, you know, he was a way bigger baby than that, but that was kind of the bottom line of what was said about him in this process. And Green Bay just flat up said, straight up said no. And I know there's different things that go in here, but usually players, especially players of Aaron Rodgers' caliber,
the defending MVP,
hold way more clout in deals. Usually, you know, just to get this done and out of the way, a team would trade him because you're going to get an insane package back for a guy like Aaron Rodgers. You have your quarterback that you like for the future. Obviously, you drafted him last year in Jordan Love, and you know, it's before the draft, so it makes sense to do this deal. And I assumed, you told me I'm incorrect, but I assumed that this was Rodgers' side leaking all of this stuff before the season start or before the draft started to try to get him actually dealt before the draft happened or during the draft, however it would have been. But apparently Schefter is saying that it was not Aaron Rodgers' camp leaking this, which makes it weird to me because now not only are the Packers not giving into contract extensions, not giving into trade demands, but now they're throwing their franchise quarterback of the last, you know, whatever, 15 years, however long he's been there, reigning MVP, brought the team a title. You're throwing him all the way completely under the bus. And now you kind of get I think now everyone understands what Brett Favre was going through at the end of his tenure in Green Bay too, obviously different front office and stuff like that, but seems like they're, you know, this is two franchise quarterbacks in a row that are going to have some bad blood with the Packers. And this cannot be, You can't like this if you're a Green Bay fan at all.
No, it's not good at all. And it makes a lot of sense, because at first you would have thought, like you said, it made sense that it was, yeah, it's got to be Rodgers' camp. Like, it makes total sense. But then, you know, you listen to certain things, and I listen to something we talk about a lot, a certain show that has his friends on it and everything. So take that with what it is. But they flat out said, think about it. Rodgers doesn't like to be in the media. He doesn't like to get interviewed. Why would he leak this and then be going with eight friends to the Kentucky Derby for Friday and Saturday, where everyone's going to be interviewing him like crazy? Why would
he look
that?
Like a crazy drug dealer?
Yeah. At did you see his Turd Ferguson badge yet on?
No, I didn't.
Oh, see. Yeah, I know he did. He knew he was going to get interviewed. So when NBC came to him, he put this like badge on that said Turd Ferguson on it. It was absolutely amazing. Like, the dude is like a really good, funny guy. Once he just kind of gets away from having to get, he just gets annoyed with the same stuff over. I don't blame him. It's the same thing over and over again. But it's weird of Green Bay. I see Aaron's side of it. It's like, okay, I'm willing to negotiate a new deal that helps you guys out and helps me out. I'm willing to do this, but you guys also aren't showing me you're going to help me out. You went and drafted Jordan Love, who's still years away. You went and drafted another running back. And then you re-signed Jones. And then you drafted another running back in the draft this year. Like, you just keep doing things that you gave me Davante Adams. Somehow Kumaro became good. And you haven't built anything else around me. And The argument I get from some guys like this morning, like I said, on Thursday morning, I hate the argument that like Rodgers doesn't have weapons around him. I said, tell me the weapons that he has around him compared to the Chiefs and the Bucks, the last two Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
Give me weapons. It's like the most common trade target right now, and the one that makes the most sense to get the best pieces is Denver. And you know what they have? A lot of weapons. A lot. It's just, it's so weird of Green Bay.
Well, even the Vikings, who have Kirk Cousins as their quarterback, went after Justin Jefferson last year. They drafted Irv Smith, right? So they're investing in the position.
And the evolving way of football, you have to have multiple receivers that can get over 1,000 yards, that can, you know, some extend the field, some do the short run. You need to have more than a one-trick, like, I'm not saying Devontae's a one-trick pony, not at all. Like, he's definitely more than that. But you have to have more than one guy. Like, you have to, like, the defense has to make a decision. Who are they stopping? And then I'm going to beat you with everybody else. Like, it's that. That's why the Chiefs are so tough. We've talked about it many times. Okay, go take Kelsey or Tyreek away. I'm going to beat you with four other guys right now. It doesn't matter what you do. And the fact that Rodgers, who actually got an MVP with all the stuff he doesn't have that we just talked about, and he literally took them to the title game with what we didn't talk about. It's just, I see where he's frustrated. It's like, why do I want to commit my last years if you're not willing to commit to me, type thing?
Well, you watch Peyton in Indy too, Bubba. Yep. I mean, they kept stacking wide receivers. They had Harrison. They drafted Wayne. They drafted Dallas Clark, right? They drafted Stokely. They signed Stokely. So many of these pieces that they added, Austin Collie is who I'm thinking of, but they added so many pieces every single year, even when they had offensive line issues. They were making sure there were targets there for Peyton, and I think that's the smart way to go.
You're gonna throw it 40 plus times a game. You need more than one or two, like one receiver and a tight end. You need options. And the other thing is, you need a better play caller. That's simple. That's been a big problem for a long time. The last thing I will mention, unless you want to go deeper onto this, a very good point I heard, and it goes back to the Favre thing you mentioned. Mm-hmm. This whole deal with Green Bay, since they don't have a legit owner, they're owned by the people.
Yeah,
there will always be a problem because there's not one head of the table to be like, hey, this is how we're doing things.
That's true. And I think that can be solved, though, by,
you would think so,
just a smart GM or a logical GM going, okay, well, what am I going to do to keep the MVP happy? And also, by the way, when you have this rift with Aaron Rodgers, and we all know Aaron Rodgers is a little crazy, right?
Yeah, and I'm not saying he's completely innocent of this. Don't get me wrong.
No, like, he's absolutely
a baby, too. But I see his point.
Yeah, he's a huge baby. And look, you know, people are talking about Aaron Rodgers like he won't give up on the Packers. This dude doesn't talk to his family now. Yeah. I think
he will go do Jeopardy and say goodbye.
Yeah, he'll burn the bridge right the F down. Yep. It does not matter to him. The only thing that they've got him on right now is that if he does retire, he owes them $23 million. It's $11.5 million per year from his signing bonus that he initially had when he signed this current contract. But not like he can't go somewhere and make that money up.
He'll go to Jeopardy and make like $23 million after the first month probably or something.
Sure,
like,
something. Yeah. You know, so it's just dumb. And also, how does this play to your future for free agents? Why would, if Rodgers goes and Love doesn't work, Well, who's going to want to come in and play for a team that's not going to, you know, give you weapons?
And to that point, Adams hasn't signed his extension either. He's waiting for Rodgers, which I don't blame him, because if Rodgers is gone, I'm gone too. Like, see,
right, exactly. And then what do you have? You're going to have a new GM pretty quick.
Yeah, there's a dominoes effect right here from the dumb decisions being.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Because this idiot just couldn't handle it. So it's a strong story. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the draft with Bubba. His Dolphins did really well, one of the higher graded draft classes. So we're going to see what he likes and doesn't like. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, everybody. In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, and I'm here with Casey Bubba. We're going to talk about the NFL draft and your Dolphins, Bub. Put together a pretty damn good one. I mean, one of my favorite classes coming out here. You know, you guys ended up with Jalen Waddle first, Jalen Phillips as an edge rusher, two big needs, Javon Holland out of Oregon, which was just a great pick, Liam Eichenberg, another second round pick. I love Hunter Long. Don't like this landing spot for fantasy, but I like him with Gesicki. He's a really good tight end. And then I like Jared Doakes in the seventh round. I think he's decent, specifically because you guys didn't draft a high-end running back. And I guess they did call Denver to congratulate them on taking Javonte Williams, because they were going to use that second-round pick on Javonte Williams, but Denver jumped in front of them to get it. So interesting draft class here. What did you think about what your Dolphins did?
Overall, I was happy. They did it a little differently than I thought they were going to do it. Like, we talked about it on your live stream. It's like, I wanted Sewell, because the Bengals went Bengals. Like, not that Chase isn't a good player, but that's a whole other discussion. I wanted Sewell, but then you get Waddle, who is just a game changer. If he can stay healthy, you reunite him with Tua. It's like, it's just the, you know, double-edged sword that I want. I want the protection for Tua, but I also want Tua to have weapons so they actually unleash him, because that was my biggest pet peeve for anybody that listened to us last year, is they kept it so simple and they were scared to let him go. Now, I've heard stories also that he's scared to throw into a small window. Well, that's got to change. But I like the idea of putting Waddle there to go with Parker and Preston Williams and all these other options, like, you know.
Yeah, Will Fuller.
Kosicki and Will Fuller. Like, there's no excuse now for Tua, which is good. Then they got the edge rusher in Phillips, who's just a monster. Like, the defense is already very, very good. Now you throw him in the mix. I'm like, I even saw the early defensive rookie of the year, and he's like the third or fourth high, like, favorite, which for a Dolphin, I'm happy just out the gate. I know he has to play, but still, that's good. And then the Liam Eichenberg, because I wanted to get an early O lineman to keep protecting Tua. I think that having Eichenberg, obviously the luxury of having multiple first and second round picks, to have that pick come there, you know, didn't give up a sack all of 2020. That's pretty darn good considering the games that Notre Dame played in. That was some very talented teams. So I'm overall very happy with that. And then they just kind of got the fillers late. Even Gerald Doakes, for a guy like myself that played a lot of college football at DFS, I got to know him quite well.
Yeah.
And he is sneaky talented. Like,
he's a hard runner, man.
Yeah.
Sneaky talented. He's a hard runner. And he was good. You don't get a lot of talent out of running backs after the third round, but they can be found in the seventh undrafted, like Robinson was last year. You know, there are plenty of guys that have taken off later in the draft.
Was a late pick, and he's doing just fine. Like, this is how they're going to build it. He's going to throw the ball a lot, and they just want a guy that can run a little and catch out of the backfield.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah, and Gaskin, to his credit, did it really well at Washington for that whole stretch that he was there as well. So, I really like what your Dolphins did. Was there another team that impressed you in the draft or any move in particular? I mean, the Bears moving up to take Justin Fields, do you think that was the right decision for Nagy and company, or do you think that that one's going to burn them and he's going to be with a new coaching staff next year?
I think it's a great move for the Bears because they need an identity. They need to try a new quarterback because it's obviously not Dalton's. They'll let him start for a little while, but Fields at least gives us some excitement. Let's Robinson and company at least feel like they still have a chance there. Yeah. And we'll see what he has, because I didn't know where he was going to go. I wasn't completely sold on Fields, but I think Chicago at least makes it interesting. I'm good with that. The fact Mac Jones fell to the Patriots just irked me to no end. Like, literally, they didn't have to trade for him or anything. It's the guy they wanted. They said, like, when they scouted him, it reminds them of Tom Brady. And maybe they're just saying things. I don't know. But when the Patriots talk, I listen, just because they've tortured me for so long. So them getting Mac Jones without having to trade. But at the same time, it let me make fun of my Niner friends going, look, guys, you could have got Jones or Fields without trading all the way up with the Dolphins. It was cool. But that's just a little saving grace. But, you know, there's a lot. Like, all in all, you can always pick on certain teams. But I think a lot of teams actually did pretty darn good, all things considered. Like, even the Lions, it's boring, but they got Sewell to drop the 7 for them.
Oh, I love what the Lions did. Welsh and I were just –
it's beautiful.
We did a game. We looked at one of the grading systems from the Draft Network, and I guessed the grade for each team. So he put the over under at 6.5, and I went just under. I got 6 perfectly correct. It was between A+ and D. So there was pluses and minuses in there as well. But I think the draft classes I really liked here, Cleveland, of course, you know, so for me to give Cleveland a compliment is a bit much, but you know, when you don't need a ton, right? You go in not needing an insane amount. You have Greg Newsom fall to you, and then Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the middle linebacker from Notre Dame. He can play a little safety as well. Definitely undersized, but he fell to the second round because of a heart condition. And then, you know, they had other guys here like Anthony Schwartz, who's one of my favorites. And I know a lot of guys don't like Anthony Schwartz, including my buddy Xavier, who was on there with me when they picked him. But this dude has world-class speed, not NFL-class speed. He has world-class speed. He could come in right now and be the fastest player in the NFL. He ran a 4.25 40 at his pro day. Like, he is jets on jets on jets. He doesn't have to touch the ball more than 5 times a game to make an impact play, because if you give him just a little seam of daylight, he's gone. I like Togiai. I like Tony Fields. I like Richard LeCount. And Demetric Felton's one of my favorite running backs. I mean, I kind of hate the fact that he landed in Cleveland, because he's not going to get any time at all there.
You never know. You never know. We've seen Hyde get banged up from time to time. So you got that going for you. But, yeah, no, they did a really good job. One other one that I just want to get your opinion on it, because you being the Texas guy, I liked what Indy did getting Kwity Paye early and some of their early defensive moves to kind of stir up that defense, because the offense has a lot of toys already. But I just want to get a question. The issue with a lot of teams is the backup. You know, they were running out all kinds of different backups of late. The idea of getting Sam Ehlinger in round 6, I know he's not like elite talent, but I think he could do pretty interesting stuff in that offense.
Yeah, Ehlinger, I mean, unfortunately, I don't know if he's going to be there for mini camp that's coming up, because I'm not sure if you saw this, but his brother, who was at the University of Texas, passed away today.
I did not know that. That is no good. Okay.
Jake Ehlinger. So I don't know, you know, I don't know if he's going to be in for mini camp or not. So he's going to be behind. But they drafted Jacob Beeson last year out of Georgia.
Yeah, true.
I think he's going to be the straight backup to Carson Wentz. But I think that Ehlinger is going to get some goal line packages, because it's Sirianni coming over from the Eagles, right? That's why he got Carson Wentz. And we saw what they did with Hurts last year on occasion. And Sam Ellinger reminds me the most of Tim Tebow. He's more Tim Tebow than I think any other quarterback coming out since him has been, because he's the same type of, you know, the arm's not crazy strong, not crazy accurate, but he usually makes really good decisions, and he can run over defensive linemen, right? He, not just linebackers. This dude can has stiff-armed defensive linemen to the ground. He is a monster and an absolute bull to bring down. So knowing Carson Wentz's injury history and all that good stuff, I think that him getting the ball at the goal line would be very, very smart if you want to run it. So I think that might be something from day one, but if he is going to make those plays, he may need to be the backup, because there's not a lot of teams wanting to go into
carry three quarterbacks
and carry three quarterbacks. Exactly. So he might have to play special teams. So he may get a little Taysom Hill here. So we'll see.
I got one though. Like, we just have to bomb on them a little bit, but you know, some leadership's already been gone, but the Texans are the Texans. I've watched a lot of Stanford games, and maybe I'm wrong. You're much better at this than I am, but Davis Mills to me is not the answer. But I guess then again, that was their first pick and it was late round three. So what do you think?
I am not a Davis Mills fan. Yeah, so I am
beyond, like, the news when he was never even in contact with them before the draft. Like, what are they doing?
I think it's them panicking about Watson, you know,
Watson's- Yeah,
but even if that's the case, dude, that still doesn't make any sense to me. They have Tyrod Taylor, who has tons of starting experience
and serviceable, very serviceable.
And they got Ryan Finley, you know, who started a couple games for Cincinnati over the past couple years. So, you know, not the best backup, but a better backup than Houston's had for a while. I mean, the guys that they had before Watson were just brutal. So, yeah, I didn't really understand the Davis Mills pick at all. I think this is just kind of a panic, because that was their first pick. You know, I like a couple of their other picks. I actually like Nico Collins. I like Brevin Jordan, but you know, Brevin Jordan is coming into this season banged up for them anyway, and he's a great player and everything, but there's just no way, if I'm a team that has only five picks and none in the first two rounds, there's no way I'm spending a pick on Brevin Jordan. He's just a bit of a luxury. So, you know, they got bad grades because of trading away the future and stuff. And I get that, but I didn't understand. I like Nico Collins. I think he's by far their best pick, but the rest of them I don't really get, you know. Yeah.
Very odd. I do like what the Rams did.
The Rams. Yes. Okay. So the Rams are a little, so I like the players. Yes. But I don't know that they they attack their needs, right? So,
well, they got three receivers, but that, like, that could work for them, because all of a sudden all those expensive veterans, they're like, oh, okay, we're going to change things up here. Not right away, but maybe like after year one or something.
Yeah, and I like Ernest Jones from South Carolina. I thought that was a great pick. Ernest Brown was a good one in the fifth as well. Jake Funk was interesting because, I mean, that's just a McVay pick, I feel like. And time. Tutu was definitely.
I love the Tutu pick in that offense. Ooh.
Yeah, he could really pop, but he's one of those guys that I'm just not sure of. I know our boy Jake Seeley was super high on him. So, lots of interesting classes. So, you know, we're going to go over it more on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast, and we already have a little bit, but we got to take a break. When we come back, Bubba and I are going to talk a little baseball, because Welsh and I, we're talking over some things I want to get your opinion on. So stick with us. We'll be right back with baseball after this In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Talk about www.com. Me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're also on the Mighty 1090 in San Diego. What's up, San Diego? Sure, the weather's nice there. It's already triple digits for me here in Arizona, so not looking forward to the summer. It always gets way too hot. My air conditioning's running a little bit more and more every single day, so, you know, it's already getting brutal. But in San Diego, easiest job in the world, the San Diego weatherman, right? So what's the weather going to be like? It's going to be nice today. So yep.
It's a good way to live.
Good gig if you can get it, for sure. So Welsh and I were talking a little bit earlier because John Means threw the no hitter, which is the third or fourth, however you want to call it, this year.
Three and a half.
Right, sure. So then he said, you know, we got into talking about how it was should have probably been a perfect game, but the drop third strike or wild pitch, however you want to call it. I didn't see it, to be honest with you. So I don't know which one it should have been, but he faced the minimum, but it can't be perfect unless it's perfect. And then he brought up the point of, well, what if someone throws a perfect game in a 7-inning doubleheader? Does that count? I said no, because there's only been, 23 perfect games in the history of baseball, dating back to the 1800s. So the last one was in 2012. That was Felix Hernandez threw a perfect game at Safeco. And, Philip Umber threw his perfecto in Seattle, too. And This John Means no-hitter was in Seattle. So
maybe we're on to something.
Yeah, lots going on in Seattle as far as that stuff goes. But Welsh kind of pushed back on me saying, we said the 7-inning no-hitter should be a no-hitter because you can't go any further than that. And I said, well, look, if I had to pick one side or the other for both, I would pick then the 7-inning no hitter is not a no hitter.
Wow.
But there's been 300 and something, no hitters over the history of baseball. I looked it up. The last year without a no hitter was 2005. That was every other year in between there. And I think next was 89 or something after that. So it's been a long time in between. You're getting at least one no hitter a year, you're not getting, like we said, 20 something perfectos. So where were you standing on it before? And does that change your opinion on the 7-inning no hitter now?
Yeah. When you guys want to break it down like that, but,
well, is that too much? I mean, there's only been 23. So if someone throws a 7 inning,
I get it. It's tough because I agree that the no hitter, because it's a baseball wants to have 7-inning games that count as real games, and it should be a real no hitter. That's what makes it tricky. But a perfect game, it's kind of on a different pedestal, and right. So you have to kind of graduate to that level, but you can't have both, which is what you're saying. So if I have to pick one, then they're neither. You have to go 9, which is tricky, because I think Bumgarner should get credit for it. It's not his fault that he didn't get to go 2 more innings, but. I can't do a 7-inning perfect game. That doesn't work for me, because it's like you're saying, basically, with how many they had there, it's such a special feat. You can't just be handing those out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my point with it. So I just I couldn't get on board with the 7-inning perfecto actually being a real perfect game in the record books. I mean, look, if you want to start another. Look, Bumgarner threw the first 7-inning no-hitter, and we haven't had a 7-inning perfect game yet. If you want to start those, that's fine.
Yep, that's totally fine. Yeah, we can put asterisks, and we're good at putting asterisks on things. So
right.
If we want to go that route, that's totally fine. I'm good with that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's more of the way that I would go. So we talked a little bit earlier about Angel Hernandez. I mean, Bub, you and I like to, you and I, and then me and my friend Joe, we, not Pisa P, a different Joe, but he will, when he's watching a game and he sees Angel Hernandez, he'll say, look, I've been watching this game with Angel Hernandez and he has missed three calls. It is absurd. Tony La Russa, or not Tony La Russa, excuse me.
He's absurd too, though. It's okay.
Well, Tony La Russa is also absurd. Yes. But why can't Tito Francona called out Angel Hernandez on Tuesday of this week because he screwed up a call. And then I believe it was Wednesday night, he screwed up another call. And it's just been a cavalcade of idiocy coming from this guy as far as his job goes. But we were talking about it. I mean, umpires are better protected than the tenures, you know, professors with tenures. Yep. They're way more protected. It's this guy sued baseball a couple times and is still calling games and balls and strikes and screwing it up out there. What do they have to do to get him fired?
I don't know. It's unbelievable because the one Tito called him out on, he legit said, I don't know. I didn't see the play. I looked at the reaction of the players to decide what I was going to call. Like, that alone should be like, dude, it's enough. You're gone. Because this isn't your first thing. This is like the 12,000th thing. So, yeah, that was embarrassing. And then the one on Wednesday, like, I tweeted out about it that I thought Brady Singer was a good DFS value. We talked about it. He was pitching well. And he started getting squeezed in the fifth. And then Angel Hernandez called a balk on him. And the Mariners or the Royals manager comes out. I believe it's Matheny now. He comes out. Starts arguing with Hernandez about the balk call, gets all fired up. So Singer goes and gets tossed all up in Angel's face. He has to get pulled back by Matheny. And I'm like, that should earn like more DFS points because he just went at everything we want. He just did for us. He went right at him and basically tells him he's horrible. And it's just Angel sits there and keeps ruining baseball. It's unbelievable. Like, he's the main one of the main reasons that we want robot umpires. Like, I never wanted robot umpires. Like, I was cool with certain replays, but there's a lot of me that still wants baseball to be baseball. That's what human error is. But, man, when you got guys like Angel Hernandez screwing things up, it's hard not to want robot umpires. It's so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. And, you know, the Welsh did bring up Joe West, who's another guy that a lot of
Country
people don't
Joe.
Like. But the thing with Joe West, to me, he'll miss a call every once in a while, of course. Every umpire will. It's the human element of the game. So you just kind of have to... you just kind of have to roll with the punches. And that's what a lot of people say for, you know, rallying against robot umpires is saying that, look, this has been part of the game forever. But just because it's been done that way forever is not a good reason to keep doing something. If you have something that would be better, like robot umpires, I'm not saying that that's definitely the way they should go, but at least test it a little more. You know, don't be like Curt Schilling and when it calls balls and strikes and you were getting a nice strike zone and they're going to, you know, critique. Do you remember he did this in Arizona? He went with a bat and bashed it in and it cost him like $100,000. I bet he really wishes he wouldn't have done that now.
Saved him from investing in another game company. So it's probably a good thing.
Yeah. So I don't think you know, just because it's been done this way, you need to keep doing it, but you need to at least try something or
change is good. It just depends on what the change is, but change is always good.
Right. It change can suck sometimes, but it usually you get through to a better result. So Joe West to me is more of a, when there's an argument, he makes himself part of the spectacle, not he misses a call to be part of the spectacle, but when someone is getting in his face, like I've seen him shoo off managers, right? Yeah. Like shooing off with his hand. And I remember Glavin talking about how he went out and bought Joe West's record before and played it pregame over the loudspeakers to get Joe on his good side and stuff, which is a little bit crazy. But
well, the thing with Joe compared to Hernandez, Joe was at least likable. Where Angel Hernandez just looks like a gigantic phallic symbol.
Yeah, exactly. He's not good. Dude, Angel Hernandez is the first umpire name I ever learned because he screwed up a home run call. He screwed up a home run call. I was at a game in 98. My tickets were down the line by the pole. I saw the ball come, you know, cross the pole on the other side, which means it's a home run, and he called it a foul ball. And I went home and I watched the replay because they used to do the late replay on Fox Sports Arizona. And I said, I can't believe he missed that call. Who is this clown? And they said, yeah, Angel got that one wrong. But I can't remember who it was. It must have been Brenneman. Speaking of canceled, it must have been Brenneman at that point. And, you know, he was gone. So, I mean, I don't understand what's going on with him. But what is more absurd is Angel missing that call in the outfield against Kansas City where he said, I just was looking at the player's reaction. Is that more absurd? Or is Tony La Russa saying, I didn't know the rule, so that's why I thought Liam Hendricks had to start the inning at second in extra innings? Which one is more absurd to you?
Tony La Russa, by far. You are hired to manage the team to the best of your abilities, and if you don't even know what the stinking rule is, and I believe he was a part of the competition committee for a while too, which helped put these rules into place beforehand. Yeah.
He was showing up to all those meetings. Yeah. It probably interfered with other meetings.
Yeah, AA meetings, yes. He should be fired. Like, there's certain times when you should lie. That's one of those. Like, literally, like, start thinking of a freaking lie, dude.
Nah, Hendricks is fast. Yeah. You know, something.
Keep him loose. I don't know. Like, he's an Aussie. He's different. He wanted to play. I don't know. Figure something out. But, yeah, that's bad. If I don't say I didn't know that was the rule.
Who were were they playing? The Mariners? Is that who it was?
No, it was White Sox and Reds.
Oh, okay. That's who it was because they asked David Bell Reds about manager. It. And David Bell said, no, the competition committee was pretty clear that this was the rule, except unless a pitcher was in that spot before, then you could go the player before him or the player who replaced whatever it is. I don't know the rule because I'm not a manager. So, it could have been Jose Abreu, who has tons of experience running the bases, even though he's not the most fleet of foot, you know, he could have done it.
It's an easy decision, pitcher or any other position player. Sounds good.
Right. Exactly. So unless maybe it's Ohtani, that's the only exception to that rule at all. He's also a position player. So that it was just so dumb. What about, did you see this D-backs date thing that was happening the other day?
Yeah. Did you see the second date they went on?
No, I didn't see that.
It's all over Twitter, my friend. So yeah, the D-backs date thing, you know, my friends, Twitter. I wasn't going to go there. I was going to go full Welsh on you. Says, you know, I my friends behind home plate on their second date or whatever, can you check in and see how they're doing? And so the Arizona D-backs Twitter feed takes it over and if you just read all the comments, it's great. So that went well. And so then the Phoenix Coyotes jumped on it and they gave them tickets and jerseys and it said that the caption was a successful third date. They quote tweeted the Diamondbacks thing. And then it said something like, hey, Phoenix Suns, you up?
People's awesome. Whole relationship is going to be play by play on Twitter gone over. Yeah. So,
What's your thought? Maybe this is where you're going with this. People clowning on the guy because he's wearing basketball shorts on a date at a baseball game.
I don't know. That I don't know about. That's probably something I wouldn't do.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't even do that still with my wife. If I went to a ball game, I wouldn't be going in basketball shorts. Like, you just don't go to a ball game in basketball shorts, let alone a date, second date.
here's the one thing I'll give him a pass for is that, I don't know. No, I don't care about that at all. Are you kidding me? I wear jeans in the heat. It's fine. No, but I mean, who hasn't been stuck in their house for a year straight right now, right? Yeah.
Doesn't have a new pair of pants yet.
Right now, like in my apartment this second, if I'm wearing my only clean clothes, and it ain't that clean.
Well, so I appreciate it.
I got to get some laundry done here. I feel like everyone has done that during the pandemic. Who hasn't gone to the grocery store in some, you know, basketball shorts or something? I don't know if I'm going to pull that out on a date, but I get it. You know, I get where he's coming from, but we're getting back to normal here, bud. Why don't you put on some slacks, something? What are you doing?
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At least some shorts, but get some socks on those feet. Come on, what are you doing? But we got to take a break. When we come back, we will end out the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. You guys here, Endless Love. You know what that means. It is the end of the three-hour tour. And I wanted to end it out, Bub. I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, but the Eagles War Room had a very interesting moment because they picked Milton Williams, big defensive tackle, and the vibe in the draft room was a little weird. Of course, you know, everyone is photographed or videoed all the time, but they take big defensive tackle Milton Williams out of Louisiana Tech. Howie Roseman is going around dabbing up people, giving fist bumps, all that good stuff. He gets to one guy. I'm not sure who this was. But he goes to dab him up, and the guy has a clear attitude and is very upset with this pick of Milton Williams. And he kind of scoffed it off as, hey, you know, this is a long, arduous process for everybody. And, you know, people get attached to the players that they want. And when you don't take the player for that one guy, occasionally people are going to be upset. And I guess this is what happens, but there's many cameras in many rooms, and you don't see this stuff happening all the time, Bob. So does this raise a red flag, or are you going to, you know, pass it off as what Roseman said?
I think I'll pass it off with what Roseman said, but I'm going to watch this carefully throughout the season. If like the kid's not playing, like I trust Philadelphia media to make this happen. I really do. Like, this is one of those that, you know, they're going to just stir that pot. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. Cause you're right, it doesn't happen in very many other war rooms I've seen. Heck, we talked about the Sewell pick for the Lions. Those guys are jumping around like they won the lottery. Right. So, like, they were all happy on that one. So we'll see.
They kind of did. I mean, the players that went ahead of Sewell are all great, too. But Sewell is really, really good. And if you're rebuilding, you know, I think they're doing it the right way. You build from the inside out. So we'll see. I mean, there's all kinds of other stuff that happened during the draft. The Vikings apparently tried to trade up to get Justin Fields, too, and they missed. So that can't feel nice if you're Kirk Cousins. So
he swims in a pile of money. He's feeling just fine.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be okay. But, you know, I just thought that was interesting. But that is going to wrap it up for us. Please check us out on Twitter, at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Hendrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. Please check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. And we will see you guys next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take it easy.